give you praise today in Jesus' name. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus. Praise God. My condolences to the Miller family at the loss of Pastor's father that we need to keep them in our prayers as they travel. They're all going to be heading out in the next couple of days, and Pastor's already gone. So just let's remember them in prayer. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, beginning in the 13th verse. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Sometimes I wish that prayer would affect here. No. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The title of my message today is Passing Prayer. Passing prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be in your house. And we thank you for your presence that's already in this place. And we ask you to touch our minds and our hearts, oh God, and help us, Lord God, be what you desire us to be today and tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. With no time left on the clock and his team down by 2 points, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers launched a missile from his own 39-yard line into the end zone, where it was caught by tight end Richard Rodgers, no relation, for a game-winning touchdown. The ball traveled 61 yards. The football field is 120 yards, and they did this through the air, Aaron Rodgers, which is a really, really long distance to throw a football. I can barely throw a football, let alone 61 yards. According to the Rochester Journal, in 1935, Chicago Bears quarterback Fred Crawford tossed an 85-yard bomb to receiver Eddie Kowal. And this appears to be the longest throw through the air pass on record. But in 1960, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Don Meredith once let one fly to Bob Hayes for 83 yards, putting him in second place. Pretty extraordinary. I don't know much about football, but I became a fan when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. So pray, the word pray, is a verb or an action. When we, in my title, it says passing prayer, adding the ER makes it a thing or a noun. passing in my title is an adjective, right? Sister Marla, am I right? All right, so this is telling what the noun or the thing is doing. The subject of prayer is vast, and we could be here for a very long time today. Prayer is defined as a solemn request for help or expression of thanks, addressed to God or an object of worship, a religious service, especially a regular one, at which people gather in order to pray together, such as here in the church. So, the word pass, I'm going to break that up into three different things. So, pass, as far as going past or across, leave behind or on one side in proceeding, meaning a verb. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 5 through 11 and verse 15, we're going to read about Saul, King Saul. This is his second year in office, and something happened in his second year. He did okay on his first year, but he messed up on the second. It says, then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. So the Philistines were coming against the children of Israel. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. They were freaked out. There is a ton of people that are coming to kill us. Then the people hid in caves and thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. That's the first foxholes mentioned. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They scattered all over the place, wherever they could go, to hide from this massive army that was coming against them. And some of the Hebrews crossed over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, their king, he was still in Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to this time set by Samuel. Samuel says, wait 7 days and I'll be by. But Samuel did not come after 7 days to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings to me. That was his error. Why? Because that was Samuel's job, not Saul's job. He didn't inquire correctly. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Then Samuel arose, went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people presented with him, about 600 men. How many chariots were there? A lot. How many horsemen were there? A lot. How many people? Unnumbered. A mass amount. And all Saul had was 600 men. Saul did not follow the law of God in that the priest was to give the sacrifice. He did not inquire of the Lord, as I had mentioned correctly. He was just throwing a ball out there. He just picked it up. I'm not getting my answer, So I'm gonna just throw a prayer out there just so I can tell Samuel that, hey, I prayed. So he just takes his prayer and aimlessly throwing out there something just to say he tried something. He was leaning on his own thinking and understanding. He was not inquiring of God. He was not following the law of God. When we have a decision to make, we do not want to pass on prayer. Prayer is our direction. Saul was facing a career decision, a life and death situation, as he found himself with only 600 men left. How was he going to face 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude? How? He just threw it out there. Sometimes when we are praying, I know for myself, sometimes I get caught up in life. I'm not perfect. You know, I woke up this morning and I had Gilligan's Island theme song stuck in my head. I'm not perfect. We are just sometimes aimlessly praying to say that we have had our time with God. We've had our time in prayer, not really wanting it to be caught by anyone, including God. Just needless words to fill our prayer time. Or we just sometimes choose not to pray when it's a great pivotal point of our lives. I will tell you that prayer has prevented me a lot of hardship and turning the right direction. It allowed me to know the mind of God for my life. But I can tell you from experience that the lack of prayer has painted some not too pretty pictures in my life. And I can tell you that not just the lack of my own prayers, but the lack of others has altered the path of my life. We don't think about the impact of other people when we don't pray. Saul was not thinking about the multitude killing his own men. He was only thinking about himself and his leadership and his role and protecting himself. If Saul would have just waited for just one more verse, Samuel would have been there. He could have prayed the right way with Samuel by his side, but he couldn't even wait one verse. The impact of his lack of prayer was grand. It affected more than just his life. It affected his kingdom, because Samuel said, "You will no longer carry the baton of this courtship. You will not be king, and God will bring one that has a heart of his own to the people." And we know that as King David. So another lesson that I learned from Saul right here is just a little bit of patience when you're praying. Patience plays a part in passing prayer. And I'll explain that. All right, so we have pass. move or cause to move in a specific direction. This is bringing it to a verb. So we're going to move our football in the right direction. I need two volunteers that can throw a football. Evan, you can throw a football. All right, I got two guys. Brother David, here, grab this one. And I want you just to toss it a couple times back and forth. I can barely do that. That's why I'm having them do this. All right, that's good. Thank you, thank you. All right, so great, great job, guys. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, great job. Great job. I remember we'd play softball. That was our game. And we would toss that ball for hours and hours. That was a side note, just so you know. So with this, it was a specific direction. They threw it back and forth. It had a precise location, the other person, right? Did you know that even Jesus prayed? And he didn't just pray once, he prayed often. God Almighty had the entire world resting on his shoulders. One of the greatest decisions that Jesus had to make on this earth was choosing his disciples. This was going to be the greatest thing that would impact the known world from that point on to today and to tomorrow and every day thereafter. The decision of these people were to catapult the church. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to pray, out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. He prayed all night long before he made the decision. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Out of all of his praying all night long, he still picked Judas. He knew who Judas was. He knew exactly. But in all his prayers, he did the right thing. Jesus prayed as well. Now, if Jesus, who had all things of heaven at his disposal, was praying for a decision, how much more should we pray about decisions in our lives? Acts chapter 10, 1 through 5. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Wow. This is one of my favorite passages to study, to read, and to share. As this was the release from the Jewish population for the Gentiles to join the church. By one man's prayer of all people, Jesus sends Peter to Cornelius so that he and his household could be saved. For Cornelius, it might have seemed forever to get a response, but was he really looking for an actual response? He was just hungering and thirsting for whatever God had for him. He knew which buttons to press, and he pressed those buttons. It was just like him tossing a ball to God. I know you're there. I know that I'm throwing it. I know you're catching it. When will you throw it back? I don't know, but I'm going to keep throwing. I'm just going to keep tossing it in the right direction. I'm going to aim precisely. I know what I must do. The Bible shares a myriad of examples of prayer and results of miracles, signs, and wonders from those prayers. When we are praying for someone, even people praying for myself, I feel the prayers. When I need prayer, and I know my wife, she prays for me because at work, I feel them. And I see the results of those prayers. But feeling the prayers does not require action on my part. We can pray for people, and they can feel them. But it doesn't mean that they're going to respond to them. We must pray that God softens their heart and God helps them see what they need to do. And God can do it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they need to take action. We have to do our part. We have to take the ball, and we've got to throw it to God, and we got to throw it to them. Are they feeling it? Yes, they're feeling it. But the actions are theirs and theirs alone to make. I know of stories of friends that have prayed and prayed and prayed for answered prayers, and it could be 20 years before they see a result, but they never lost faith and hope that God would answer their prayers. I have seen people that have prayed and prayed and prayed and never seen a result, but it doesn't mean that God was working on the individual. I know God answers prayers. Our greatest and most important prayers will always be our relationship with God. Keeping that ball going back and forth. As you pray, you allow God to talk to you and minister to you and help you and nurture you and father you. That's the best prayers. And it's going to be the most effective in your life. We can pray for others, but don't let our prayers for others be the relationship prayers that we have with God. I think we get in a rut sometimes where we're constantly asking God for something. Where we're constantly asking God to answer this prayer, to do this and do that. But we're not saying, hey, God, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to commune with you. I want to have a cup of coffee with you. You know, God's looking for that kind of prayer. I'm not perfect at it. I drop the ball sometimes. But we just got to keep trying. We just got to, as this body has breath, we shall not give up. There is no good time to give up. We must keep going forward. When we throw the ball, we put into motion the power of God. God uses prayer for us to be the channel for Him moving throughout this world. An act or instance of moving past or through something. Successful completion of an examination or course. This moves passing by itself into a noun. Prayer acts as a method of making us a conduit for God to work through. You see, throughout Scripture, God chose to use you and I to move throughout this world. Through the words of preaching, speaking, or just witnessing to one another, God has chose a life of prayer to interact from a spiritual to a physical. And this is explained in Acts chapter 1, in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We find the remaining apostles, the 11, the mother of Jesus, and the Bible says around 120 people, they were having a prayer meeting. It took a while, but eventually with much fervency, they passed through a different realm in the Spirit. They were taking the ball, and they were tossing it to God. And they were all doing it, and they were not stopping because Jesus said there's a promise coming. So I tell you that if you don't drop the ball and you continue to toss to God, there is a promise. There is a promise. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. God wants us and needs us to pray to further His kingdom throughout this world. I know I've not done enough on my part. Let's all stand. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The 120 would have never experienced Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, without first having Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, where they were all praying in one place. They were all in unity and prayer. I encourage us, church, that we bind together and that we indulge our time in prayer. I believe that God has great things for the church not just here in Everett, but the church as a whole. And it will not be accomplished without prayer. We must not pass up prayer if we are going to allow God to pass through us. Prayer is the element that gets us into the kingdom here on earth. The kingdom of God coming down. When we pass our prayers to God, aiming and directing, well, we know what to pray. Our relationship with Him will grow and mature into something that will blow you away. We will see God do great things as we pray for others. But I encourage you today, just keep passing prayer. Just keep passing prayer. Bless those around you with prayer. Don't give up on prayer. Pray, pray, pray. I'm going to open the front up for a time of prayer. If you'd like to pray where you're standing or sitting, pray. But I encourage you to touch God. Just call on the name of Jesus.